The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
This is Sean Astin, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 264 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from the WDW Today Podcast, and with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Michael. How are you today?
Doing well. This is one of those marathon days in terms of podcasts for me, but
we already did a podcast. We're doing this one, and you're doing a 2-hour podcast with WDW today, right?
Yes.
And you're hosting.
And I'm hosting. Yes.
It's Matt's fault, right?
It's Matt's fault. Okay. Exactly.
Well, I have a shout out. I know you have a shout out.
Yes, I do.
Do you want to go first?
Yes, I'll go first.
It's a privilege, you know.
Yes,
it's,
I know.
There's power in the shout out, and I don't just give this power to anybody.
Know. Well, a friend of mine a few weeks ago ran in the New York City half marathon, and what was amazing about it was that she had run with us in Orlando in January. She had done the she had run the 10K, and she had run the half marathon. It was her, I believe, it was her first Run Disney half marathon. I think it was her first half marathon. It might have been. And since then, you know, she lives up here in New England, where we've had the mother of all winters. She has not been able to run. So she did not run after marathon weekend until she ran in New York City at the half marathon. And she did an unbelievable job. I think she bettered her Run Disney half marathon by maybe 20, 30 minutes. And she owes it all to yoga. She does yoga. She's a yoga geek, and she's a very dear friend of mine, and her name is Susan Poon. So, Susan, congratulations. This shout-out is for you.
Very nice.
What about you, Michelle?
Okay,
you
I have a few. I have Gabriel Suarez, who did the Coral Spring Half Marathon. Josh Hogan did the Shamrock 8K. And a shout-out to Tim Sullivan, who, like me, is starting his Boston Taper. So, yay, everybody.
Yay, everybody. Okay. I believe that this show, Michelle, is going to be a show that everybody will really be interested in. We're going to turn the clock
back.
As
opposed to our other shows
mildly
interested?
Yeah, they're just mildly interested. Okay. The Run Disney races have become very popular. I remember the first time I registered for the half marathon, it didn't fill up until right around Thanksgiving. That's not the case anymore. Many times, a lot of the Run Disney registrations go within an hour or two. Such a pace was shown in a recent registration for the 2015 Wine and Dine Half Marathon. There was a rush to register, and not everyone got in, and there was a lot of disappointed people. So we wanted to talk a little bit about that and what kind of options everyone has when something like that happens. And what we have done is we've asked a colleague of mine where I work, who went through many paths to get to register for the Wine and Dine, and we have brought him on the show to talk about what he went through and to give some advice. So we want to welcome Tony Pimentel to the show. Tony, welcome.
Hi. Thank you, Mike. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Tony. Welcome to the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
Another New Englander.
Another Red Sox fan,
huh?
Yes.
Hopefully.
There you go. Absolutely. And, absolutely.
All right.
And Tony is a DVC member, correct, Tony?
That's right. Old Key West.
Old Key West. So, a
long-time DVC member.
So before we get into the show, we want to have Tony talk a little bit about his running background. So, Tony, can you give us an idea of what kind of a running background you have and where you've what you've done and how long you've been running and all that kind of stuff?
Sure. I was a very athletic. I'm in my late 40s now. Very athletic in my late teens and early 20s. Ran my first full marathon in 1992, which was the Marine Corps Marathon in Washington, D.C. And at that time, I was actually just looking at my finisher certificate not too long ago, and I came in 8,500th out of 11,000 runners. They now cap the lottery at 30,000 runners for the Marine Corps, so it's amazing how that's grown. And when I ran that marathon, really in my mind, I thought that I would be a lifelong runner. And of course, things happen. You go to school, you get married, you have children. And next thing you know, I'm, you know, in my early 40s and hadn't really run a race since that Marine Corps marathon back in 92. I like to eat quite a bit, actually. So it it was pretty necessary just for health reasons for me to get out there and run again. So I'm a Disney geek as well. And so the half marathon back in 2011 was really the first race I had run since that marathon back in 1992.
Wow.
So, you know, I went almost 20 years between races.
So how did you learn about Disney races as an old Key West member? You're somebody who's been going to Disney for a long time. Is it just you kind of saw them running by you in the park one day when you were there for one of the races? Or how did you, find out about Run Disney?
Well, it's interesting. I was actually at a house party. A bunch of the families that we know get together once a month. And everybody brings an entree and a dessert. And I happened to get talking to a gentleman at the time by the name of Luke Charbonneau, who was a runner from way back but hadn't run in many years. And he was also a Disney geek, DVC member over at Saratoga Springs. And he mentioned that they have this half marathon or this marathon weekend in January. And both of us, you know, as he is a father of three, I'm a father of two. We're looking for an excuse to basically go down for a guy's weekend.
So, awesome.
We hatched a plan and started running together you know, a couple times a week, mainly on the weekends. And we ran that first race in January of 2011. So it worked out. It worked out great for us, and our wives and families have been very supportive. From that half in 2011, I'm just looking. I'm sitting at my desk here, looking up at a curtain rod with my Run Disney medals on it. An idea that came from Jeff Galloway from listening to your podcast.
Oh, cool!
Which is kind of neat. Side story: I actually had a chance to run for a short while with him and his lovely wife at the marathon a couple of years ago, and I got to thank him for that tip, which was really a thrill thrill for me.
Oh, that's neat.
Very neat. But, you know, looking at Wine Dine medals from 2011, 12, and 13, marathon medals from 12 and 13, the inaugural Dopey Challenge medals from 2014, and then back down there for a marathon weekend this year. So it's Run Disney has really kept me motivated to stay in shape, and the trips down there definitely keep me putting miles on the shoes.
Oh, Tony, you are among friends. Yes, we get it.
So now let's talk about the Wine and Dine registration. But before we even get into how you started, tell everyone, Tony, why that Wine and Dine half marathon weekend is a little special for you.
Sure. It happens at least the last couple of years in the early part of November, and my birthday happens to be on November 5th, and so the Wine and Dine has sort of become part of an extended birthday celebration for me. Little selfish, but I've enjoyed the heck out of it. So I was really, really looking forward to that again in 2015, since my birthday is on the 5th and the weekend is on the 6th and the 7th.
Sounds good. I think there's someone sitting next to me who understands.
Yes. November birthday people are the best. I just want to say that in public.
Absolutely.
Yes, as I did mine last year at Disneyland.
Yes, when Rudy told everybody how old you are.
Thank you. Yes. Okay, moving on.
Okay, so...
So you tried to sign up as a DVC member. Right. You were on top of things. You were organized. You're ready to go.
I thought so, and then went in on the 27th to register, and was surprised to find that early registration had already closed. I'm not sure how many spots there were, but there definitely wasn't one for me when I tried.
So one of the things that I'm curious about, I have a pretty flexible job. And aside from when I'm teaching, I can make my own schedule if I'm going to have appointments. And you and Mike work in a more traditional setting where you might have meetings and things like that. It must be kind of stressful if you don't have somebody else registering you, and you're in your office, and even if you have DVC, you have that extra leg up. How did you manage that? How did you plan for that?
Well, I try to keep track of when the registration dates are and try to plan my schedule accordingly.
Wow.
Most of the time it works out, unless I have a meeting that goes right up against that time and it goes over, as they sometimes do.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah, so we don't schedule any 11 a.m. meetings on those days.
Well, I just want to point out that because of that, it makes it kind of unfair for people, because there are a lot of people, I used to be a classroom teacher. There'd be no way that I could register. It's only because I have a flexible schedule that I can do that. But I can, what if you're a nurse? What if you're, so many other careers where you can't just be available for noon.
But the thing is, Michelle, let's say you made the registration at 6 p.m. Now you've got people commuting.
Yeah, yeah.
If you made it at 8 p.m., do you do it 8 p.m. Eastern time? Do you do it 8 p.m. Central time?
That's a good point.
So
I
don't know.
Never make everybody happy.
Yeah,
I
don't know if there's a way to take care of this. So Tony, on the day for the DVC registration, it just didn't work out. Is that correct?
That's right. Yep, that's right. Yeah.
So what happens if you're DVC is there's a special link that you can go to on the DVC member page. And I'm just going to say it out now because one of our buddies, Steve Cantafio, actually wrote me an email this week asking me exactly what that was. It's dvc.disney.go/members/member-extras/special-offers/run-disney. You have to kind of dig deep to get into that. But once you get it, there are certain admissions that are put aside for DVC members. Now, I know I tried to do it too, and I don't know if I was on a phone call or something. I didn't get registering until 12:15 or so, and I was also shut out. So they go quickly, and I don't know how many registrations are put aside.
Nor do I.
Mm-hmm. There's some for Disney Vacation Club. There's some for annual pass holders, and it's a fraction of the, let's say 26,000 people run Wine and Dine. Maybe not that quite that many. So maybe it's 10%.
Could be.
So 2,600 maybe admissions. So you did not get in, and did you try right at 12, Tony?
I was probably in a couple of minutes after 12. But it wouldn't have been any more than 12:05 I was in.
Wow.
So then we move a week or two down the road, and it's open registration for everybody, and that's when the scrambling takes place. And I know, Michelle, that you were able to register yourself and myself. Thank you very much.
Well, one of the perks for the DVC is you get a little bit of a discount. So you lose out on that. You don't get that DVC discount. But I was on there right at 12. And so I was able to get in. But Tony, what happened to you?
Well, I was in one of those aforementioned meetings beforehand and got in just a couple of minutes after 12. On my way from my meeting to my desk phone, I had fired off a text to my running partner, Luke, who was already online and in the queue waiting to register himself.
Isn't it amazing when work gets in the way of our running?
To the point where
it's a problem.
I know. Inconsiderate
if
these people.
If you couldn't do that, Michelle, I think I'd actually go as far as, if I really wanted to be in a race, I think I'd actually go as far as to, maybe work from home if I could, or take the day off just to give me the best chance of registering.
So you didn't get into that either. Tony,
no.
Yes?
Well, no. What happened was I got into this queue that said there were at least 100 people in front of me. So I'm feeling pretty good about myself, thinking that there are 20,000, 25,000 people going to be running the race.
So, Tony, so the screen said to you that there were 100 people in front of you. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. It said there were 100 people in front of me, and it was about a 20-minute wait to register.
And you said when you were waiting, the timer was actually going down? and telling you how much time you had left?
It was, but actually it seemed like it was taking forever to go down. But I waited it out. It went, 20 minutes, 19, 18, all the way through the countdown, each time saying there was still over 100 people in the queue ahead of me.
I just got to picture what this looks like at work. So I'm assuming you're in a suit and tie and it's a busy place. People are running around and you're breaking out into a sweat. People are thinking that you're having a cardiac event at your desk.
That's about right. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That's about right. Most of the people on my team, know I'm a runner and know I was going to be registering for this race that day. So they knew that something wasn't going quite right.
So you were just like, people would say, Tony, could you get away?
Actually, I was not a fun person to be around the rest of the afternoon. That's for sure. That's for sure. But I'm on the screen, waiting on the countdown. And it finally, after 20 minutes or so, gets down to zero. And the screen changes and brings me to the registration screen on active.com. And so that's the screen I've usually seen when I've gone in to register for a race by clicking on the Run Disney link. And so it requests, your name and age and personal information and such. And you fill that all out. And I dutifully did that all the way down. And it took me to the section where you enter your payment details, which I did, unfortunately, by many things online, so knew the number nearly by heart, plugged it in and clicked submit. And when I did that, it didn't take me to the success screen. It actually scrolled up to the top of the screen and gave me a what looked like a strange error message that said something like, error, registration limit check failed. Now, I'm a computer guy, so I knew that wasn't a good thing, but the message really didn't make a lot of sense to me. So I figured maybe it was just some kind of hiccup. There were a lot of people registering. So I scrolled back down to the bottom of the page again and clicked the submit button. And when I did that, it scrolled back up to the top and gave me that same error message, error, registration, edit check failed.
Wow. Now, at this point, I think I would have been checking my email box to see if the gods were shining upon me and I got the confirmation in my email. Did you do that?
Yeah, no confirms to be found.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I it didn't get past that error message, unfortunately.
So you knew you had issues. Did you try to register again after that?
I actually tried to go back out to the main page again and click on the link, and figured I would just wait in the queue again with that same message. Unfortunately, when I went out back to the main page, the link to register had been disabled, and there was a message indicating that the Wine and Dine half marathon had sold out, as well as the 5K race had sold out.
So at this point, Tony, you and about a million other people are saying, well, not so good, but you didn't stop there. What did you do next?
Sure. I took a screenshot. A screenshot of the page and emailed it to active.com with the description of my experience, having gone into the registration page and filled everything out and gotten that error message. At that point, I thought it was purely a technical problem and was looking to see how active.com would respond.
And they fixed everything. Yeah. And the end of the story.
Yeah.
They fixed me okay. I got an email back, late that evening. It was a fairly standard automated message apologizing for the inconvenience and suggesting that I remove any merchandise from my cart and try to make my purchase again.
Have you ever had any problems with active.com before this? Because I don't think I've met anybody who hasn't had a problem with active.com. Yeah. Not to throw them under the bus, but just curious.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had a problem that's prevented me from registering for a race before.
Mm-hmm.
But their process, I have not always experienced it as a very streamlined, easy process, put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But this was the first time that, I was prevented from registering for something. And so it was the first time I had to send them an email asking for help. And so didn't get much help back on that email from them. And so then I replied back to it You know, just with some additional details that I was not trying to purchase any merchandise. I was, in fact, trying to register for a race. I attached the screenshot that had the error message on it. You know, was really looking for them to give me a better response than, you know, what they did. The next day, I received an email from Active.com with what seemed like a very automated response, once again, apologizing for my experience and suggesting I contact the race organizer to find out if the event had been sold out or not. I, of course, knew it was sold out. So,
well, at least all the indications were that it was sold out. So did you contact Run Disney next, Tony?
I did, actually. I emailed them directly with the case and the emails that I had sent to Active.com, as well as the responses from Active.com, because I wanted Run Disney to know the type of response that I got as a customer of Run Disney. I also provided some more context for Run Disney than I had to Active.com, because I'm a certified Disney geek. I've been a DVC member. I've taken multiple trips with family for many years. I've participated in a number of different Run Disney races, at least two or three a year for the past 4 or 5 years now. And I wanted them to know this was somebody who has supported them and enjoys their product. And I just didn't feel like I, you know, was getting the level of service that I thought I should get.
And I think that was a good thing to do. I think that was a good thing to point out how loyal you have been. And also, I wanted to point out, you mentioned it a few times, taking that screen capture. I think that was a good thing to do, Tony, because it kind of gave you evidence that, you know, something just wasn't right.
That's your evidence. Yeah, I think it's a good way to kind of build your case.
Yeah, and I think it provided Run Disney with information that if they decided to do anything with it, then they could go back to Active.com as a service provider and give them specifics about what the problem was. I probably could have emailed, using some very colorful metaphors and trying to voice my displeasure in other ways, but I just really didn't think that was going to benefit me at all at the time.
And So Tony, give us a frame of reference. So from the day you registered, we're talking how many days have gone by?
Sure. So my first email to Active was on Tuesday. That was registration day. My second email to Active was on Wednesday. I then sent my first email to Run Disney on Wednesday evening. I received an automated response back. I can only imagine they must have been flooded with emails from people. And so I received an automated response on Thursday of that week. I then responded back to that automated response with, again, some additional detail reiterating, what a loyal Disney customer I was, talking about the specific difficulties that I had and really stating in the email, I was happy that Run Disney races were as popular as they were, but also providing some suggestions that, you know, that might be able to help, going forward. Actually, now this is Thursday going into Friday. On Friday, I was picking up my children from school and my phone rang. It was a 407 number. And so I immediately asked everybody in the car to shush up, please. answer the phone, and it was Run Disney, and a person by the name of Jillian on the other end of the line. And so I was thrilled to be heard, two, to be on the phone with an actual person, that was wanted to talk to me about my experience.
Okay, and how did that conversation go?
Sure. So I walked through my emails and I walked through my experience with Active.com and the registration process and how I really thought that there had to be a better way to let somebody know that the race was sold out rather than letting them go through the whole registration process and have them thinking that they're very close to being successful and then providing an error message that meant nothing. And then, the follow-ups or lack thereof that happened afterwards. you know, Jillian listened very, very carefully, you know, asked me a couple of specific questions. I mean, she was empathizing with me over the phone. You know, this is somebody who obviously is very good with people, and, you know, asked what she could do to make it better for me. You know, I guess somewhat flippantly indicated I would love to run in the race in November. And, you know, she said, well, give me a few more details, and that way I can review your case with our management team. So that was really, in addition to getting the call, that was really the first time where I thought, you know, maybe there's a chance here. You know, she's going to review this with the management team. And so I indicated to her that, you know, this wine and dine has been a traditional trip for my running partner and I and family. My birthday happens right before the wine and dine. In fact, this year, my birthday is on November 5th, and the wine and dine weekend is on the 6th and 7th. So we were all excited about extending, or at least I was, about extending my birthday celebration by a couple of days at probably my most favorite place in the world, you know, with some of my favorite people. And so Jillian heard all of that and said that she would be talking to her management team. And before she got off the phone, she said she'd be getting back to me within a day or so, and she asked me for my email address. So I gave that to her. I thought it was a little strange because I had sent so many emails now at this point, two or three emails. But she asked for my email address and said, you know, to watch my inbox and that, you know, she would have some information for me, hopefully within a day or so.
It's kind of nice to have somebody just be sympathetic and to say, I understand how you're feeling and that you have a reason to be upset type of thing. I bet that was nice.
It is. It was, you know, she was very good. And, you know, again, just the offer to review my information with somebody who might be able to do something, whatever that something was, you know, I was feeling pretty good. And, you know, once I got off the phone, I have high school and middle school age children, you know, I was giving them a lesson on how to talk with people on the yeah. phone and, you know, that sort of thing afterwards. So it was quite an experience.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good point. I mean, you could be a jerk about it, or nobody's happy with what happened, but there are different ways that you could have gone about it, and you could have yelled and screamed and demanded, or you could have just said, look, I don't know what's going to happen, but this is feedback to make it better for me for the next time, as well as for my fellow runners. So I'm sure they appreciated that.
They certainly seemed like they did. And in fact, I got another call later on in the afternoon from somebody else at Run Disney, you know, just responding to one of my emails. And I let them know that I had already spoken to Jillian and she was reviewing my case. And so, again, it was nice to get a call from actual people, you know, looking to talk to me. That made me feel good.
So, Tony, so now we're waiting for that email, correct?
That's right. Now we're waiting for that email. And that second person who had called me, you know, I had told her that I thought I was going to get a response back within the day or so from Jillian. And I think she just tried to temper my expectations a little bit just because of the volume of emails and calls they had been receiving.
About this problem?
Well, about, I'm assuming about, you know, the registration problem, maybe not the specific one that I was calling about, but had indicated that, you know, it may be a couple of days before someone got back to me. You know, so I said, okay, that's fine. Went through the weekend, you know, biting fingernails and worrying about what's going to happen or not happen. And then actually late Monday night, I got it on Tuesday morning the following week, I had an email from Run Disney. And so it's one of those things where, you know, you see it in your inbox and you want to click on it, but you're not sure you should click on it. I was very, very apprehensive and clicked on it and saw that they were offering me the opportunity to register for the Wine Dine on a special link with what they called a one-time, one-use password to use. So I immediately clicked on that link. It brought me to the same familiar page from active.com, not the queue page, but the actual registration page, with one difference. It had a little text box to fill out with the one-time password they provided. Filled all of that out, got to the payment section, started to have cold sweats a little bit, filling out the credit card information, clicked submit, and this time it brought me to the top of the screen again, but this time it said transaction successfully completed.
So you're in.
So I was in.
Oh,
and
wow.
Within a few moments, I had an email confirming that my credit card had been charged and my registration had been confirmed. So I'd never been so happy to spend a couple of $100, I have to tell you.
So, Tony, I have two questions for you. What would you do differently next time is my first question.
Sure. Well, I definitely wouldn't schedule a meeting before it was time to register. And I think with the Walt Disney World Marathon weekend registration coming up in a few weeks, I think I'll definitely be taking the day off that day and be sitting at home, probably with my tablet and my laptop, ready to register.
Would you use two devices, you think?
You know, I think I might. I'm a little worried that it might slow me down doing that.
Yeah,
but
that's what I do when there's an Apple product launch, like the iWatch coming up.
By the way, did you notice on the commercial they show the iWatch with a Mickey Mouse face?
It's dancing too. Of course I watched the Apple seminar on it, but I wonder if. I don't know if I would use a tablet. I don't know, but I might use two devices. And so you're going to take the day off because work gets in the way of your run to Disney habit.
Because I know you can feel me when I say that.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. The second thing is, like, if you could redesign the registration experience, you know, you're a computer person. What things do you think should be in place? Like, what would make it better for people as they're registering?
Sure. There's probably no way around getting around the queue aspect of it, just because there are so many people trying to access their system at the same time. But I guess the one thing I would change is once the little door opens and the queue is finished and you're in the registration page, I really feel like they should allocate a space for that entry. And almost like Ticketmaster or some service provider.
Right, that's what I was thinking. Ticketmaster.
5 minutes or 8 minutes or whatever to complete your purchase. They should really give you the opportunity to do that. And then if you fail to register in that 5 to 8 minutes, then, well, guess what? Your spot goes to somebody else. But the way it went down, you know, you feel like you're in there and you're all excited, and then it gets pulled away from you at the last minute. It definitely was not fun.
Yeah, you're right. As soon as you were saying that, I was thinking that, you know, you have 3 minutes to complete this purchase, and that ticket is, if you're going to a theater event, you're choosing a place to sit, or if you're going to a Red Sox game, or choosing a place to sit, and you know that you can have time to take your credit card out. And now, you know, with your experience, it sounds such a frenzy, and then you didn't get it. And to me, it seems like the active.com site is very old-fashioned, like in terms of web interface. I don't know. I don't know enough about
it. I think that the servers may very well be inadequate to handle the amount of operations that it's being asked to do, and that could very well have been it. I don't know. That's my guess.
I mean, these Run Disney races are so popular, and so many people love them, that if you're going to have a registration time where everybody in the world can go and hit it at that particular place and time, they really need to have, they being Active or whatever service provider Disney uses, really has to have the infrastructure in place to allow it to be handled properly. And I really felt that's where it sort of fell apart for me originally.
Well, you know, just like a Disney movie, Tony, this all, you know, ended happily ever after.
Yeah, but there are lots of people who had spouses who couldn't get in, and, Tony handled it nicely. I think he helped run Disney. I just feel bad for people who didn't get in. I feel happy for Tony, too.
I agree. I mean, Tony found a solution, but, like you said, Michelle, there is no solution, and there's a lot of talk out there. There's a lot of discussion on lottery. I'm not sure if that's the answer. I think that people, I know that Tony and I have had conversations talking about maybe lowering the pace requirements. That would eliminate some people who are, struggling. I don't know if that's fair. Or maybe you have two races, one for people with a race pace up to a certain point and the other one with a race pace another way. I don't know.
I'll bet back in the, the back hallways of Run Disney, the program management team is having the same conversation. And I bet Tony helped them out a little bit.
Oh, well, I hope so.
Well, you know, Tony, on behalf of the Run Disney community, I want to thank you because you've actually given everyone a step-by-step description of what to do when something like this happens. Again, it was a very unusual screen. Taking the screenshot, number one, being very, very careful in discussing your plight with everyone, being very, very good. I think that went a long way.
I do. I also think, though, that Tony went about it the right way and not expecting anything. Yep. Hoping, but not expecting. And I think that's the thing. You know, you were happily surprised, but you thought it could have gone either way.
No question.
Yeah. And finally, we want to thank Tony for being very patient because we had some issues with our recording software and we had to re-record part of this podcast. So we really appreciate your patience, Tony.
I'm sure we're going to get a letter afterwards with some screenshots.
Yes.
But
yes.
Although it'll be very kindly worded, though. I want you to know.
If you send us a check for $190, we'll do whatever you want.
Got a Duke's Up credit card.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So for Tony Pimentel and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is an example of never give up. This is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. And we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.